Well, if you've never come to appreciate the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life, I hope that you do so this morning. I hope that somehow, through the Spirit of God, that the light will come on and you'll see and can know and embrace the work of the Spirit in your life. Because you know what? I believe it's absolutely exciting when we are aware, we recognize the ministry that God has blessed us with. And God wants to work in and through us, through His Spirit. Our Bible text, again, is from John chapter 14. We're looking at verses 15 to 26. And yes, it's the very passage that we explored last week with two additional verses. And what we're going to do this morning is we want to turn this spiritual gem just a little bit and look at it from a different perspective. If you were here last Sunday, you remember me saying how that this particular passage of Scripture is so loaded, and we were looking at it from a particular angle last week, and we needed to do that. But now we need to look at it from a little bit different angle and see what the Word of the Lord has to say. And I want us to see how that He, the Lord, the Spirit, is with us. So here we are. We have our Bibles open, or we're looking at the screen, and it's Jesus speaking in John chapter 14, and we're beginning with verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you will live also. At that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Now, in this particular passage of Scripture, Jesus used several terms as he referred to the Holy Spirit. And the three that I want to highlight and lift up and look at this morning are Helper, Spirit of Truth, and Teacher. Helper, Spirit of Truth, and Teacher. So let's begin with that first one. For the helper abides with Christian believers. Now, Jesus realized that he wasn't going to be around forever, and so he was actually assuring his disciples that they wouldn't be left stranded. He wouldn't suddenly disappear, and they would be there on their own. He wanted them to realize that they wouldn't be left alone. So notice again what he said, according to verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. That's with a capital H. Another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Now, several years ago, there was a 35-foot sailboat that got caught in a terrible storm off the coast of North Carolina, out there in the Atlantic Ocean. The boat captain sent out an SOS, and there was a Coast Guard cutter that responded. And when the cutter arrived, the wind was too fierce, and the waves were too high to execute a rescue. And so what the Coast Guard cutter did was he positioned his cutter alongside of the sailboat in such a way as to take the brunt of the waves to protect the sailboat from breaking apart. Now, with the Coast Guard cutter by its side, the sailboat eventually made it safe back to the harbor. Now, sometimes the storms of life can pound upon us, and it may seem rather severe. It may seem a bit daunting. But guess what? The Holy Spirit, the Helper, comes alongside of us to comfort, to protect, to provide, to minister to our hearts, and to provide for our well-being. You see, the Greek word that is translated helper in our text, usually I leave this up to Adam when it comes to linguistics and precise meaning of words, but parakletos, it literally means called to one side. Called to one side. And it suggests the capability or the adaptability for giving aid. And it was used in a number of ways, one being in a court of justice to denote a legal assistant, counsel for defense, an advocate, and then generally one who pleads another's cause, an intercessor. And in the widest sense, it signifies here's a word we don't often use, a succorer or comforter. Did you get it? Comforter. So the hymn writer picked up on the fact that comforter is another word for helper. And in the first stanza of that song, Frank Potom put it like this: "Oh, spread the tidings round wherever man is found, wherever human hearts and human woes abound. Let every Christian tongue proclaim the joyful sound. The comforter has come." Amen. Actually, it goes on in the chorus to continue that declaration. The Comforter has come, the Comforter has come, the Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise given, oh, spread the tidings round wherever man is found. The Comforter has come. He has. You know, after the resurrection, Jesus was talking with his disciples a little bit there before his ascension. And he said, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." That's Luke 24:49. So, here we are. That promise, with a capital P, is fulfilled in the lives of those who have repented of their sin and put their faith in Jesus. And you and I simply need to recognize and acknowledge and be mindful of what, or shall I say, of who the Lord has provided for us. So, the next time you're in a nursing home or a hospital, all right, Nancy, there you are. The next time you see a nurse or an aide helping someone down the hallway, may it remind you and I of this very important spiritual truth, that Christians have one whom God has sent to come alongside of, whom Jesus referred to as the Helper. And he said that the Helper would what? Would abide with us forever. Now that's something to be thankful for, is it not? Well, let's move on to the second descriptive used by Jesus in our text. He said the Spirit of truth would be in his people. Jesus recognized, again, that it would be a bit disconcerting for folks to think of him moving on, and so he encouraged them by further explaining this. And here's what he said in verses 17 and 18. "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." By the way, we ought not to refer to the Holy Spirit as it. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. For there are three, the Bible says in 1 John 5, verse 7, there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, which is Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and these three, it says, are one. And when Jesus referred to the Spirit, he consistently said he or him. The Spirit Jesus was referring to was actually God, whom he said would not just come alongside of us, but did you catch that in the text that we just now looked at, that he would actually be with or be in us? Alongside, yes, but also in us, with us. Chuck Swindoll likened the Spirit, the minister of the Spirit, to a transformer. And so he said, you know, one Christmas I gave myself an HO gauge train. Well, he said I put my son's name on it, you know, but it was actually for me. So we had a great time, he said, putting it together. And there's a tiny little thing called a transformer on that train. And it breaks down the 110 stuff coming from the wall. You plug it into the straight 110, he says, and it would go, bzzz, and, you know, that would be it. Be burnt to a crisp. But that transformer breaks it down to where this little, tiny little train, which can, you know, be on your wrist, can just putt-putt all around the track and entertain me for hours on end. go Chuck, huh? All because there's a little transformer that dispenses it at the needed level. And as Chuck put it, the Holy Spirit is the transformer. He takes the majestic truth of God and will dispense it in just the way that you need it. Give it to you with handles that you can take and use. And yes, the Holy Spirit never makes mistakes. He gives just what you and I need, just what you and I can handle. And my guess is that even as I'm preaching this morning, there's something going on, and something that I may never know about, may never hear back about. But my guess is that even as I'm preaching and we're looking at these scriptures, that the Holy Spirit is at work and he is impressing something upon your heart. He's emphasizing something. the light is going on regarding something, some spiritual truth that will edify, that will lift up, that will encourage, that will be just the thing that you have need of at this point in time. That's what the Spirit is like. That's how he transforms. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul said to the believers, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. He said that your faith should not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. And I'd like you to notice now what is said in verses 9 to 14 of that same chapter. We actually encountered part of it in the one song we sang a little bit ago. Now that's interesting. As it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But don't stop there. God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can they know them because they are spiritually discerned. Well, if you're a believer, then you have an incredible resource within you. It's a resource that not everybody else has. It's a resource that's better than a Google search engine or a GPS or a G5 network that Verizon is teasing us with. If you have the Spirit of Truth, you have the Spirit of Truth who reveals to you the deep things of God. Now that's something else to be thankful for, is it not? And that leads us to the third point that I want to make this morning. The third descriptive that emerges in our text, and that is the Holy Spirit becomes our teacher. The Holy Spirit becomes our teacher. Notice again what Jesus said here in verses 25 and 26. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Now, think for a moment about the teachers that you had over the years. There were your parents, yes, your Sunday school teachers, your grade school and your high school teachers, your college profs, your online seminar leaders, your workplace mentors, your swimming and your tennis coaches. Never could figure out why I couldn't float or whatever. But even with all the degrees and the CEUs, a person is terribly lacking unless this very fundamental, foundational thing that Jesus was talking about is experienced. What was he saying? He said the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. So it's the Spirit of God that gives us an understanding of spiritual things. And he is the one that opens our eyes. He is the one that opens our hearts. I couldn't help this past week again. You old timers know what I'm talking about. But it goes back to the first lady, the first person I baptized when I came here. And I remember, okay, where was she sitting? Over here someplace? The first Sunday. And I preached. And then there were a couple women from this church that were talking with her. And I sort of found out some of this after the fact. But Joan wasn't... She was interested, and yet she wasn't getting some things. It wasn't registering. It wasn't totally making sense. And these two women prayed with her or prayed over her. And then eventually the light came on. And she understood and trusted Christ as her Savior. And I look back. I was curious when this was. April 4, 1996. Wow, that's a long time ago. But I had the joy of baptizing Joan Walker. And what a blessing it was, you know, to as she grew in her understanding and would share with us some of what she experienced, really the work of the Holy Spirit in her life during her prayers and prayer time. So, in his second epistle, Peter was telling the people that they weren't following cunningly devised fables when they made known to them the coming of Jesus. And then he said this in chapter 1, verses 19 to 21. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. The light comes on, huh? Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Okay? No PI. No prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So when you and I open the Bible, we do so with the assurance that all Scripture was given by inspiration of God. But even then, we need the one that Jesus spoke of to give us understanding and to help us apply these great truths to our lives. Jesus said, "The Helper, the Holy Spirit, will teach you in all things." So along with that, Jesus pointed out to his disciples that the Holy Spirit would bring to your remembrance, would bring to remembrance all things that I said to you. One of the things that came to my mind as I was pondering this past week was an incident that I had when some of us from here were going door to door in Santiago, Chile, and we were there to share our testimony, and as there was interest to further explain and to share the gospel of Christ. And I remember this one place we were at, and it happened to be a woman that had come to the door there, and we're chatting, and it didn't appear like there was really anything, any kind of, you know, response or any kind of openness or anything was really registering. And then all at once, a scripture popped into my mind. And I said, well, you know, the Bible says that all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. And somehow, that piqued the interest of this lady. And she wanted to know, you know, where was this found and so forth. And but where in the world did that scripture come from? I didn't go out there with a piece of paper and it was, you know, well, let's see, da da da. No, it popped into my mind, I'm convinced, because the Spirit brought it to my remembrance when it was needful or apropos for the situation. Wow. Yes, who said that? Yeah, wow, amen. Just like John Walker used to. Now, the Spirit brings things to our remembrance, but it's the same phenomena that takes place when I get totally disgusted. You say, do you ever get disgusted? When I get totally disgusted, when I'm driving on Market Street and somebody is not so nice in their vehicle, and my mind starts going in a particular direction, and then, where does this come from? A passage of Scripture, something that Jesus said. All right, Bobby boy, you're supposed to be blessing those, you know, or praying for those that... So, okay. I hear you. I get it. But that, it's the same phenomena, you see. The Spirit bringing to our remembrance the things that Jesus taught, the things that he had shared with his disciples. And one of them, it wasn't just to make them more intellectual, but it was to help them to live more godly lives. The Spirit abides with us. He is in us. And according to Jesus, he will teach us all things and bring to our remembrance all things that I said to you. Or all things, in other words, all things that he had taught his disciples. As we become familiar with the Scriptures, then the Holy Spirit has the opportunity to bring those things to our remembrance in daily life. So I am saying this morning, it truly is a blessing to know and to experience the Holy Spirit at work around us, the Holy Spirit at work within us. Amen. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for who you are, for what you've done, for what you have gifted us with and blessed us with. We're so thankful, Lord, that you didn't leave us alone, but that you're here. You sent the Comforter, you sent the Helper, you sent the Spirit. And we pray, Lord, that your Spirit would have freedom to move, that we would not quench the Spirit, that we would not grieve the Spirit, but that we would embrace and say yes and be people that you could work with and through for your honor and for your glory. So we pray that in these latter days you would continue to pour forth your Spirit, that more individuals could come to know and to understand the gospel of Jesus all around this world, Lord. But please also in the communities that we're living in the church that we're a part of, please continue to build your church. And may your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.